Of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sungjo Gall, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you don't have time for college, let the college come to you via the Internet. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sungjo Gall.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is IT challenges of retail industry. Our guest for today's show is Jeff Veit. Jeff is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Family Christian Stores, a leading retailer in the growing Christian product market with over 320 stores in 39 states. Jeff is responsible for all systems and technology at FCS and is also responsible for company's internet business channel. Jeff joined Family Christian Stores again in November 2000 after serving as the president of iBelieve.com, a sister company to FCS from its startup in May 1999. Prior to joining FCS, Jeff worked at Anderson Consulting, now Accenture, for over 9 years, assisting clients in technology strategy development, business process design, software development, and project and program management activities for Family Christian Stores. Meyer Quality Stores, Ford Motor Company, Steelcase, Caterpillar, Manville, and the United States Department of Defense. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sanjog. How are you?
Yeah, just before we started the show, listeners, we were talking about the weather, and I guess he's enjoying a great weather where we are almost touching 50 degrees here. So, you know, of course, I know what the weather is all about. So, okay, let's jump into the retail organization's challenges. And as we see, for any retail, unlike a typical B2B or other type of businesses where the size of one transaction might be bigger, but not there. They're not that many transactions. Unlike a retail organization, where the biggest challenge is how to manage detail and that to in that much volume. And this is referring to the large number of products, SKUs, customers, store locations, suppliers, and you know there's so many things here, and that have to be managed at a daily basis for you to be able to have a good tab on what's going on. Now, over the years, how do you think has technology evolved to help manage these details for the retail industry?
Yeah, certainly a moniker in the retail industry is retail is detail, and it certainly is a key issue for us as technology managers. In the past, you know, retailers only captured department level or category level information. If you think way back to the old brass cash registers, they certainly didn't capture any type of item level information for people to try to use. I think that the primary advancements that have enabled the necessary detail in the retail enterprise, you know, certainly just the increased capability and increased computing processing power that we've seen advance over the last 10 to 20 years, storage capabilities and cost, just the way costs has dropped dramatically for storage requirements, item identification and barcode scanning capabilities, and then also obviously the telecommunications bandwidth and the ability to move information has been huge. You know, even though retailers capture a bunch of SKU store level detail and customer specific data in their systems, the ability to do something meaningful with that data is oftentimes the differentiator for competing retailers. You know, as an example, on the supply side, our automated replenishment system is really just one example of using SKU store level combinations. At Family Christian Stores, we have about 1.5 million SKU store combinations that are processed at least weekly through our automated replenishment system to ensure we're in stock on those core inventories. But again, I think that kind of the advancements in computing power, storage costs, item identification, and telecommunications capabilities are the things that will continue to advance from a technology infrastructure standpoint and make this kind of detail, you know, detailed analysis possible for us.
So when you talk about technology, now that with proliferation of internet, we know that you've got stores, 320 stores, and, you know, sometime back, and even for some cases now, people have leased lines. that they use for communication, but have you been able to leverage the internet and have some kind of a global VPN infrastructure that would allow you to really bring the cost almost to zero in terms of, you know, the communication cost that you might have?
Yeah, we have begun that process. We have some stores, frankly, that are still using some more, I guess, traditional dial-up communications, and other stores that are using frame relay networks that, you know, we work with our telecommunication providers that are actually, you know, taking advantage of the internet. So I would say we're in process at this point, but certainly those advancements give us the ability to drive costs down while increasing our service levels and really providing us the opportunity. You know, a lot of what we're trying to do is make our stores feel better connected to what's going on at the corporate office and vice versa. And a lot of those telecommunication capabilities give us the ability. For example, many of our stores actually perform most of their inventory management and administrative functions through the wide area network on the corporate computers. So they are literally looking at the same data that our corporate office is looking at, which, you know, just reduces a lot of the paperwork that has to be shuffled between the locations. And again, it's a lot of this stuff, fortunately, in this day and age, is not rocket science. And it really depends on how the retailer takes advantage of the technology advancements. But certainly connectivity, network connectivity across all the various locations is one of the keys for a retailer in staying current these days.
So when you mention about this dial-up, and also you mentioned that you have like these people go and connect to the corporate network, are they dialing in to the corporate network? So, for example, you know, if I go to another bookstore, I would not name a specific one, but then when we say, oh, you know, we're not carrying it right now, but we do carry it, it's possible that it might be in another store. So they do a lookup right away.
Exactly. You know, we're taking more advantage of centralized data and the ability to do that from all of the locations. You know, we have the ability to come up to our corporate office and get customer information if we have a customer standing in front of us that perhaps bought, you know, made a purchase in one store, but they're standing in a different store wanting to make a return. You know, then we can scan a barcode on the customer's receipt, come up to the home office and get the transaction information, and be able to process that return much more quickly and accurately than we would have in the past. So that's one example. And the example you provide with being able to look at inventory across the enterprise is a key advancement that we've been able to put in place over the last year or so.
So now, whatever things that you mentioned that have, related to technology that have evolved to manage the retail industry, now that is specific to your the answer was specific to your particular type of business, or would you say across the board? Are those the common issues across the board, or are there some more or some less?
I've had the fortune of working with several different retailers. I think a lot of times those issues are pretty common across different segments of retail. I mean, I think certainly the ability to get enterprise-wide inventory information is critical to most any retailer. Any retailer that's really trying to be somewhat customer intimate, being able to get at customer information across their enterprise is important. I think for us as a specialty retailer, for example, I think some of that customer information may be more important than it is to a mass merchant. One of the ways that we feel like we're going to win against the mass merchants and other general market retailers is we have to know our customers better. We have to provide assortments that are more tailored to their interests. We have to provide better service for them when they're in our stores or when they're ordering online. So I think a lot of that customer information becomes even more important to a specialty retailer like ourselves that's focused on a particular customer segment and is trying to market and sell a specific product assortment to them.
And I think what you said definitely makes sense because, you know, if you pick up a general purpose book retailer, they go breadth-wise. They would actually carry a lot of different things about a lot of different subjects. But what you're doing is you're going depth-wise, pick the one specialty area and you go, just go deep into what all different areas you can capture within the same specialized focus. And in that, I also see, while it's a great thing and it gives you the market leadership, it does take away the thunder, and of course, you know, you can't eat the cake and have it too, that, you know, a person, suppose if I am going and trying to get some self-help books or some religious books or something of special interest, which is basically falling under your segment, how many of those books would we buy? So it's not only books. Maybe there would be other things which would be, you can say, attached to buying a book or being of that mindset that you potentially could be selling, or you might already be doing that. So how are you using technology to mine that data or to gain some insight into the consumer's mind and say, okay, if he bought this, then he should be also be able to buy this book and also some other articles or something else, mm-hmm. so that your overall revenue stream increases, you cross and upsell?
Sure. You know, I think many would be surprised by the breadth of merchandise that's available in this marketplace, but your point is certainly well taken that we are a specialty retailer focusing on a particular consumer niche, focusing on particular products. But, you know, we have diversified the product mix into area. You know, we certainly sell books and Bibles, but we also carry a pretty wide assortment of Christian music. Many folks would be surprised to know that there's Christian music in almost every genre that there is, general market or what some would call mainstream music. We've got contemporary, alternative, country, urban, instrumental, etc., all those things with Christian-themed lyrics and so on. We also carry videos and software, greeting cards and stationery, jewelry, home decor items, apparel, so on, and a bunch of products for kids as well. So, you know, in one sense, it is focused. In another sense, you know, we're still talking about well over 100,000 SKUs in our assortment across our chain, and any given store would have 25 to 40,000 items in them, depending on the size of the store. And technology certainly plays a key role in a number of different areas here. You know, one of the issues, quite honestly, is that many of our consumers don't understand the variety of products that are available. You know, if you go to a Barnes & Noble or a Walmart, you see a rather limited assortment of products that are actually available in our marketplace. So part of it is an education issue, and actually technology plays a part in that as well. We have sampling capabilities in our stores where people can come in and scan, you know, the barcodes on CDs and sample pretty much any music CD that we have available in our stores. We have sampling capabilities that we're just beginning with our DVDs and videos so that people can sample, our customers can sample the videos in the stores. We're even looking at our books and the ability to work with our publishers to create some materials whereby, for example, an author might have an author video talking about, you know, why did the author write this book? Why do I care? What does the author hope that the reader gets from the book? Those types of things. So sampling technology and just other ways that we can try to educate our consumers both in-store and on the Internet is something that we're spending quite a bit of time on. The good news is this is also a way that we can help with product knowledge transfer in our stores with our store associates. We can use those same technologies to ensure that our store associates are kept well up to date with new release books, music videos, and other entertainment products at least. Certainly our future vision, like many retailers, involves also more interactive things with our consumers. You know, the ability to look at kiosks and other ways for consumers to identify the products they're looking for and purchase them. So, you know, I think there's still a lot of things that we're trying to identify as a way technology can help in those areas, but there are plenty of things to keep us busy, I think.
That's wonderful. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and let's talk quickly about while the technology is helping in further fine-tuning what a customer wants, how do we further specify which store should carry what depending on the kind of interest that a local community has shown. But let's pick up that topic once we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Today, college graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the Internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix is the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avall is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avall can help your company, visit www.avall.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avall, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Do you want practical business talk radio that thinks outside of the box? Then you need to tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time to Business Out of the Box with Margo Maddock-Murphy. Margo will tackle many different aspects of the business world, from building and reclaiming your profit to improving communication and breakthrough thinking, with great opportunity to call in with your questions or new business ideas. Your host, Margo Maddock-Murphy, is a veteran in business deployment and profit building with companies such as AT&T and Johnson & Johnson. Her business experience spans the globe, working with over 40 countries and in 11 industries. Margo, her guests, and callers are truly your airtime business solution finder. So don't miss your chance to keep the profit in your pocket and get out of the box every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Once again, that's Business Out of the Box, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is IT channel challenges for retail industry, and our guest for today's show is Jeff Veit. Jeff is the Senior Vice President and CIO with Family Christian Stores, a leading retailer in the growing Christian product market with over 320 stores in 39 states. Before the break, we were discussing about the different ways we can understand what the consumer pattern is and accordingly leverage the technology to get more insight and accordingly carry the different assortments of things that we sell, especially being a, like, you know, in case of Family Christian Store, which is a specialty retailer, it makes all the more sense because they cannot undercut on the cost. The follow-up question I had, which we are going to pick up now, is that while all the stores are carrying the, you know, the things which are needed, and that's based on the data mine, a second level of data mining or business intelligence is where you actually look at the mindset, the buying patterns of people in a specific community, and maybe there would be some special events going on in a special location which would call for people to go and buy a specific type of books, or that would change their mind, so they would go to that particular store. So accordingly, you change your inventory pattern in there, so when the people come in, that's something what they would like to see is not out of stock. So are we doing something similar in your case?
Yeah, we are. You would find in our stores, typically, probably, depending on the stores and the market, 70 to 80, maybe 85% of the items are what we would call core. Those are items that are pretty much in every store we operate. But then the other, you know, 15 to 25, 30% of the items are tailored to the local market conditions. And we have, you know, we capture, we have a program that we call the Family Perks Program, which is our frequent shopper program. And we have about 80% of our transactions, our sales transactions at the point of sale, that have a customer attached to those transactions. So we, for the most part, know what customers are buying what in what markets, in which individual stores. We use that data married up with our automated replenishment system and some of our assortment planning systems to really try to marry together what are the items that are selling in those local markets, along with what are kind of the customer profiles represented in those local markets. So, you know, certainly we're not tailoring every item, every category in our assortment, but We've been pretty effective at taking that 15 to 25% of items that we really feel like need to move around given the local market conditions. In our case, it may be certain denominations of churches that are represented in certain markets, whether it's a primarily Protestant or primarily Catholic market. Some of it's demographic related as to, what type of African-American representation do we have that in that market? What kind of Hispanic representation do we have in that market? And, I think there's always going to be ways to get better at that, but that is certainly one of the key ways that we're using our technology and the way we use the transactions to come up from our point-of-sale systems to ensure we're doing a pretty decent job of tailoring our assortments to what the local market needs.
Yeah, and in fact, there are two types of business intelligence mechanisms that are used. And in fact, there is reactive and there's proactive. The reactive would be definitely where we know what the sales are doing in a specific area, and accordingly, we make some patterns and work with that data to take care of our inventory. The other one is a proactive pattern, which is instead of demographic and the sales data, it goes from events. It takes care of the events that something is going to happen here in, say, 2 months. So how are people going to behave, and how do you spread the message at the right time to the people saying, right now Family Christian Stores is doing da-da-da, and you have a specific event going on, and then automatically this becomes like a pull marketing, so instead of a push marketing. So that's another place of, potential enhancement of your capabilities from the data mining standpoint. So, this is just a thought, but you have any suggestions regarding that or any thoughts about this?
Yeah, and I'd say that's certainly kind of a good way to look at it, reactive versus proactive. In our market, again, the good news is a lot of the authors, music artists that are creating products in these markets are pretty willing to do in-store events and there's concerts and speaking engagements and so on. And we work with music labels and publishers to ensure that at least for the higher profile authors and artists, we know where they're going to be and what they're doing. And we have been able to take advantage of, our list of 9 million customers and really promote to them things that are going on in their local markets. And that certainly drives our need for products and events that we'd like to do in our stores. That, again, I think is one that I think that really is kind of the next level. I think the reactive approach is typically where people start, and I would say for us we're in reasonably good shape in how we attack that side of it. I think the proactive side is one where I think we've made some progress, but that is one that certainly your internal technology has to be working well, but it also requires pretty good connections to external parties, at least in our case, where we've got other entities that are really driving a lot of the excitement, if you will, in the marketplace, because those are typically driven by new releases of books, music, and video products.
Great. And now there's another thing which we say about, retail organization that, since it's been around forever, since the very time when people started buying things, retail has been there. So, of course, technology started catching up, and they have come to a point where they have almost optimized to the maximum, which theoretical maximum, or maybe say practical maximum, they have optimized the business processes, the supply chain, the business intelligence functions. So given that, and with all the competitors that you might have in the specialty market as well as general purpose retailers, where do you see there's any potential improvement left which you can use as a competitive advantage?
Oh, I think there's plenty of opportunity for improvement left. I mean, certainly there's some retailers that have invested heavily on the supply chain side and on the demand side that have really used technology effectively to grow their businesses. But there are tons of retailers, especially on the specialty side. A lot of smaller retailers, but I'd say even the larger guys still have a lot of room to go. I think certainly internally there's still opportunity, but I think one of the things that will continue to advance is the collaboration area, ways that retailers can work more effectively up the supply chain with their supplier partners to get more efficient. with their supply chain, information flow, product flow, but then also really taking it to the next level. It gets talked about a lot, but I'm not aware of a lot of retailers and their supplier partners that really do a good job in collaborating on the forecasting side of the business, or, you know, as we were talking about a moment ago, in forecasting as it relates to marketing activities. So I think there's really still going to be a lot of opportunity from a integration perspective, and how do I look at some of those supply chain collaboration tools that are available now, and how do I get the appropriate level of marketing information? You know, what am I doing with events and promotions and other things that are going to drive business that have impacts up and down the supply chain? So I think that's certainly going to be there, and as long as we have marketing people, we're always going to have new and interesting ideas and concepts that we have to try to react to from a technology perspective. And I think there's always going to be ways. I mean, the one thing you have to remember with retail is that retailers typically operate on very skinny margins. I mean, oftentimes they may be, when you get down to the bottom line, a typical retailer is lucky if they're taking a nickel to the bank for every dollar they sell. The margins are slim, so, you know, improving your inventory turnover by 0.1%, if you have a number of stores across the country, can generate real benefits. So I think there's still going to be some opportunity. You know, some areas that are still getting quite a bit of attention, retailers have really gotten into space management lately, trying to make sure that they lay out their stores and present their products in a way that optimizes their sales per square foot and optimizes their inventory investment. So I think if you look at kind of the next level of collaboration in the supply chain, if you look at the next level of interactive technologies, consumer-facing technologies, you know, consumers are getting, you know, one of the things the internet has done is given consumers more control over the shopping experience, and they certainly seem to like that. And I think, you know, I don't think many retailers have really cracked the code there, and how do you really effectively integrate an in-store experience with some things that consumers can do on the web. So, you know, the good news for guys like me is I think there's still quite a bit of job security in, you know, ensuring that that we've put all the technologies in place that can really optimize the enterprise that we're trying to run here in retail. And while there's certainly been a lot of advancements, I think there's still many opportunities to continue to optimize our business.
And in fact, you know, what you just gave as an answer to my last question, it brings back the point about how do we bring together the online and the, you know, the click and mortar experience basically for people. And there's one more concept that is catching up is the local fulfillment, where people would not want to wait. They would not want to pay the premium of going to a store, but they want all the rebates and all the discounts. But then when it comes down to getting the book, they would rather go to a store and pick it up, and that's local fulfillment. Now, that automatically brings some challenges, because earlier we know used to happen where a store, a specific retailer, would say, you know, whatever you have done online, we do not honor it. And then slowly they started honoring those coupons, and now they have to even deal with fulfillment, which is happening across the online and the brick and mortar. So let's pick up these challenges that we have from logistics standpoint, supply chain, and corresponding technology, which needs to support it after we come back from the break. So please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
Today, college graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix, the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
informative, entertaining, and educational talk. www.voiceamerica.com. Come find out what you've been missing.
Do you want practical business talk radio that thinks outside of the box? Then you need to tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time to Business Out of the Box with Margo Maddock-Murphy. Margo will tackle many different aspects of the business world, from building and reclaiming your profit to improving communication and breakthrough thinking, with great opportunity to call in with your questions or new business ideas. Your host, Margo Maddock-Murphy, is a veteran in business deployment and profit building with companies such as AT&T and Johnson & Johnson. Her business experience spans the globe, working with over 40 countries and in 11 industries. Margo, her guests, and callers are truly your airtime business solution finder. So don't miss your chance to keep the profit in your pocket and get out of the box every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Once again, that's Business Out of the Box, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com on the SurfNet Radio Network. Brought to you by SurfNet Media Group, publicly traded under the symbol SFNM. BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is IT challenges of retail industry. Our guest for today's show is Jeff Feit. Jeff is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Family Christian Stores, a leading retailer in the growing Christian product market with over 320 stores in 39 states. Before the break, we were discussing about, the different challenges that we always have in terms of, how to make the consumer experience better, and we looked at the idea of local fulfillment, which is catching up, where consumers actually want to get their best deals online or wherever possible. And then when it comes down to delivery, they don't want to be waiting for, 10 days for a UPS Ground or some other carrier sending them their stuff. They would rather go to the local retailer or like corresponding retail store and let them just pick up the articles that they have bought. Now, that being said, it does bring some challenges from all different angles, may it be logistics, may it be customer service and actually most importantly from the technology standpoint. So what have been the challenges? First of all, is local fulfillment approach being carried out in FCS? And if yes, then how what kind of challenges are you facing from technology standpoint?
Yeah, we are not doing that today. However, we are moving rapidly towards it. I know we probably want to get towards the technology discussion, but my experience here at Family and in past experience with other retailers has been there really has to be a management priority to make this multi-channel capability go. Because as you mentioned, there are many different business functions within the company that have to be on board with this approach and supportive of it, everything from store operations to the logistics function and marketing and merchandising for that matter. So it really, to make it work, you've got to have management buy-in because it requires so many different functions to make it happen. But for us, at least, the most significant challenge to date has been inventory accuracy. In our world, if you think about a bookstore, oftentimes for any particular title of book, music, or video, something like that, you're typically only talking about having a few of those items on the shelf at any given point in time. So if a consumer is going to go online, and search and identify and reserve and order that product to come pick it up later, they certainly expect you to have it waiting for them. So it just requires a whole lot of communication and coordination across the enterprise to ensure that that physical item is in fact in stock and available when the customer comes in to pick it up. These capabilities require a whole new level of, I would say, system interoperability. You've got to certainly have your corporate systems talking to your store level systems, talking to your web-based systems. You've got to have data sharing going on at a whole new level. And one of the issues that we've had as well has just been, in our case and the other retailers where I have worked, oftentimes the web-based systems are typically newer generation technology trying to talk to older legacy systems that may do the enterprise-wide inventory control. Oftentimes, many retailers are still running older systems in their stores for point of sale. Plenty of retailers still out there, believe it or not, with DOS-based point of sale registers. So, you know, these capabilities also require, we talked a little bit about network connectivity, certainly the ability to in near real time, talk between web-based systems, corporate systems, and the stores. So this is really an enterprise-wide business issue, and it certainly is an enterprise-wide technology issue. But I certainly think these capabilities will be a condition of doing business going forward. Consumers are going to expect it from everyone, and no one, in my opinion, is going to be exempt from that. I think in our business is probably not as critical as it is in larger ticket items, you know, electronics, appliances, those types of things. I think there's going to be faster take-up on this local fulfillment aspect, at least. But certainly, even for our business, we're already seeing the need through customer feedback and other things to do a better job of integrating our channels. And that is really a key priority for us over the next 12 months.
So like with any book retailer, the key to your profitability is actually going to be that you know how much and what are the customers asking, and definitely you're investing in that. And also, to some extent, as you mentioned, like since your margins are so low, so the inventory management, how quickly can you turn around your inventory would be the key to success. So you would want to ideally reach the JIT model, the just-in-time inventory model. And how well are you able to get into that? And the other thing which you also mentioned is a chronic problem is that how much does your supplier know that you are what's the reorder level? How much of insight has been given to these suppliers so that at the time when you're just reaching the point where you cannot sustain the customer requests anymore, so those guys come to know right at that moment and they send it instead of sending you a bulk set of books or whatever other articles that you're selling, and then it sits there and, you know, increases the inventory maintenance cost. So where are you in that whole, you know, approach of reaching the JIT model?
Yeah, we are, you know, I would say within our four walls, if you will, within our organization, I would say we're in reasonably good shape. We certainly have some improvement opportunities, but as you mentioned, I think the big win for us is better collaboration with our supply chain partners. We have, you know, the good news in the retail industry is there's pretty commonly accepted practices, commonly accepted applications for handling, you know, automated replenishment and so on. The algorithms that are used and a lot of the statistics that are used to try to optimize your inventory, you know, a lot of those things have been worked out to the point that there's pretty commonly accepted models and commonly accepted technology that's pretty widely deployed in that area. You know, we're able to keep our in-stocks, you know, in the high 90s. We're able to move purchase orders and invoices, you know, via EDI and other electronic means back and forth. But, you know, I think the big nut to crack, if you will, in retail, and some segments of retail have gotten much further in this than others, and I would say our segment in Christian retail is probably a bit behind, and that is on the collaboration side. I think the big win for us is when we can more effectively integrate both the suppliers' marketing programs as well as our marketing programs to be more effective at forecasting, especially new releases for us. If, you know, again, if you look at new, it's similar to it to the way it is in mainstream music or mainstream books. When Harry Potter hits the marketplace, there's obviously a huge demand for that product in the first, usually in the first few hours, even, but certainly in the first few days and weeks. So the ability to be able to get a, you know, to do a good job of forecasting demand, but then also to be able to react quickly in certain markets, certain stores that are selling at rates that were unanticipated. And as you mentioned, that requires coordination and collaboration with your supply chain partner so that you don't have to kind of bear that entire inventory burden and inventory risk to stock up for those situations. A lot of our suppliers are divisions of general market parent companies. A lot of our publishers are part of New York publishing houses. Many of our music distributors are part of, you know, general market music companies like EMI. So we have pretty decent capabilities with those larger suppliers, but you know, we also deal with suppliers that are very small, but that manufacture products that are in high demand by our customer base. So we really have to have some varied capabilities there. But the key for us in the future to really be able to advance where we are today is going to be able to take demand forecasts that we're generating, demand forecasts that our suppliers are generating, and more efficiently bring that to a point that we can, you know, kind of in the electronic world, agree on what the right forecast is, and then be able to efficiently react to local market needs again as the products release. And that I think is a common issue across all segments of retail. I think the challenge for us in some of these entertainment products is just that when they break, they sell at such a rapid pace that you really have to be prepared for that.
See, one of the issues that we have seen in technology management, and this is more an approach the way technology leader might take or the team might take, is that one is that if it broke, don't fix it. Other thing is that I want the best and a purest approach. So it has to be a good balance there, because many times we'll see that if a company has been around and they have been focusing, like in your case, if you're a specialty retailer, you know your focus. So there would be some core functions, technology functions also, which may not need tweaking after a certain point, and they can be left as is, and any money saved from that could be put into the new initiatives. So that management is also going to appreciate, and overall the value will also be created. However, there are times when that the same funds are used to keep on tweaking something which could very well work as is, and the actual value, the net value, is not created as it could have been. So what are your thoughts about that?
You know, that's certainly true. Retail is probably definitely an industry where that mindset, kind of those two different mindsets, are very prevalent. There certainly is one mindset that would say, you know, we've been ringing sales on that register for 10 years. I bet I can ring a sale on it next week. You know, so let's just leave it out there. But then you see some of the advancements that are being made in capabilities, again, getting customer information down to the point of sale so that suggestive selling is something that can be a reality. I think that definitely just gets back to a management perspective. I think in our company we have a balance. We do have certain components of our technology that we look at and say, I don't see significant return on investment in investing heavily in that area, and I can put those dollars towards more advancements in other areas. And I think historically with a lot of retailers, point of sale has been an area that they've neglected, because they basically said, if I can ring a sale today, I can ring a sale tomorrow, and I can ring a sale the next day. But I think software providers have made some significant advancements in some value-added functions that can happen at the point of sale that involve more than just ringing a sale. So, you know, staying on top of those advancements is critical. But in our world, again, with the margins being what they are, return on investment calculations and following up on those to ensure that you are, in fact, getting some tangible benefits out of your technology deployments are critical, because we just can't afford to spend money without a return coming back.
That's great. Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be back after these messages, and we will talk about things like outsourcing, web services, business process management related issues that are to be dealt with from the technology standpoint and technology management standpoint. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Today, college graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix, the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today.
Avall is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avall can help your company, visit www.avall.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avall, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Informative, entertaining, and educational talk. www.voiceamerica.com. Come find out what you've been missing.
Does your 9-to-5 make you feel 6 feet under? Tune in to One-on-One with nationally known columnist Jay Whitehead to learn ways to turn your career around. Heard every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, Jay will give you tips on promotions, salary negotiations, relocation, and the real skinny on bonus money. So tune in and get out of the 9-to-5 rut with One-on-One with Whitehead every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The challenges facing today's brand marketers are constantly changing. Stay a step ahead of the game by listening to Brands on Demand with your host, Doug Rand, the president and founder of Brandside. On the show, Doug will provide tips and insights into maximizing your brand return in an ever-demanding marketplace. Take your business to the next level. Join Doug Rand for Brands on Demand every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Real business issues, real business talk.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is IT challenges of retail industry, and our guest for today's show is Jeff Feit. Jeff is the Senior Vice President and CIO with Family Christian Stores, a leading retailer in the growing Christian product market with over 320 stores in 39 states. We wanted to discuss and rather touch topics related to outsourcing and web services and BPM. So let's start with outsourcing a little bit and understand that what has been your thoughts regarding the – what are your thoughts about the technology functions outsourcing and the business process outsourcing?
Yeah, I have been able to kind of sit on both sides of the table of that. I've worked for a consulting organization that was pretty active in the outsourcing space, and then I've been on the other side of the table, you know, being a CIO dealing with outsourced, at least IT functions. We have really not gotten into other business processes from an outsourcing perspective, but from 1994 to 2001, we did have an outsourced IT shop here at Family. And it really, in our case, it was somewhat situational. In 1994, the company had just gone through a management buyout. The parent company had provided a lot of the IT services and support, and at that point, and the company was really in desperate need of IT systems upgrades. So we worked with an outsourcing consulting shop that performed a lot of the system replacements. We literally replaced all the systems for the company at that time. Every piece of software was swapped out. Most of the hardware was swapped out. And then we ran the systems for 7 years. And even to the benefit of Family, that upfront systems cost was amortized over the life of the 7 year contract. So in essence, they got millions of dollars worth of new systems, but didn't have to pay for it at that time. Could pay for it over the life of the outsourcing agreement, and that was a huge benefit to them. So I think a lot of times, at least my experience has been, outsourcing is somewhat situational to the company's current objectives as well as their current strategy, and it worked out well. I also, you know, at that time in 94, I was actually working for that consulting organization, and then in 2001, when that contract expired, I was the CIO at Family and had the pleasure of unraveling the outsourcing agreement and bringing the IT shop back in-house. But again, that was the right decision at the time, and the consulting organization we were working with worked with us to make that happen. So it wasn't one of those contentious situations at the end of a contract. But it certainly helped us through a time in the company's history when the company was growing. We tripled in size during that time. It allowed the management of the company to focus on the growth, and allowed kind of an experienced IT consultancy to focus on ensuring that we had the technology capabilities we needed during that heavy growth period. But for us, as we've looked at other business processes, we've looked at accounts payable, we've looked at payroll, we've looked at a lot of different things and really haven't found other business processes that seem to make sense for us from an outsourcing perspective. And nowadays, as we look at outsourcing in our IT world, you know, I carry a staff that really is capable of operating and managing the current systems and current business, as well as do some incremental enhancements or small projects. Anytime we look at a large project, we do have to work with outside firms to do large system development projects, package implementations, that type of thing. So, you know, I guess I have a perspective, having been a consultant and now working as a CIO, that there certainly is an appropriate role for consultants in the IT space. And we certainly work with outside firms on a regular basis.
That's wonderful. Now, there's another hype, I would say hype, because the fact is, like, people do not understand it completely, but still they want to jump on the bandwagon, is business process management. You know, this is a generic term. Yes, we want to manage the business processes, and then people want to come back with tools which would further help you manage the processes which have been already automated. So instead of human beings managing them, a system would manage it. So have you had a chance to look into this avenue for you to be able to increase any kind of, you can say, efficiency in your organization, especially from technology management standpoint and business management standpoint?
Yeah, frankly, Sunjog, this is not an area that we have at least initially found much value in. We're certainly a very process-driven company, but we have not been able to identify tools that we feel like are worth the investment in this area, I guess I would say. You also have to remember that we, you know, on a relative basis, are still a relatively small company. Our corporate office has about 250 employees. So as I have looked at some of those tools, I think for larger organizations that are trying to manage more people conducting similar functions, I think there may be more value there. But for us and the size organization that we are, we just have not been able to look at those tools and you know, we've not even gotten to the point of frankly running any kind of return numbers or anything. It just seems way outside the bounds of what we feel like we could get in terms of reasonable return and reasonable value from them.
And what do you think about the web services? You know, while there is value in there, so that you can, you know, create a common plug and play module or a plug and play interface with other your suppliers and everything, but would you not have to rip apart your existing systems which you spend millions of dollars setting up and then putting these web services in? I mean, there are schools of thought either way. So what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, we are taking good advantage of web services as we are upgrading applications and upgrading other infrastructure. We typically are not, you know, ripping out functions and other things within legacy systems to make that happen. But, you know, as we are looking and we are in the process of deploying new point-of-sale systems, for example, we are definitely using web services heavily, again, to, you know, to come up to our corporate office and get customer information, get inventory information, and so on and so forth there. And we are using web services to communicate more and more with our supplier partners. So that, I think, certainly does have value for us. But we're approaching it more of taking advantage of that technology in the kind of in the context of other projects. We're not kind of doing that in and of itself to upgrade particular functions within legacy systems.
Now, what do you think does the, you know, technology enhancement, or you can say technology evolution with respect to retail organizations, you know, what's going to happen to the technology for retail organizations in future?
Yeah, I think we've touched on a lot of this today, but I think it's probably going to come down to four or five main areas. I think there's going to be much more advancement in the consumer-facing or interactive capabilities, certainly as the internet continues to proliferate and consumers get more comfortable with the level of control they have over the shopping experience, I think you're going to see much more of that get integrated into what goes on in stores. You're starting to see it more and more everywhere. Certainly kiosks are popping up all over the place. You've got certain technology showing up in Starbucks stores. You've got just a lot of things happening in terms of consumers' ability to interact with technology within stores and shops and so on. So I think that is going to continue to advance. I think channel integration, similarly, is going to continue to become the norm. Consumers are going to expect the ability to search and identify and reserve and order and pick up their purchases and merchandise in whatever way is most convenient to them for that specific purchase. You know, you may have a consumer that wants to come into the store this time, but next time they want to go or just have the product shipped to their home. So a lot of that channel integration is going to have to be there for retailers to be competitive in the future. We've talked about collaboration. I think the next wave of collaboration among supply chain partners will continue to be a heavy emphasis for retailers and their supply chain partners. We talked about web services. I think the internet is going to play a critical role in how those supply chain partners communicate with each other effectively. I would call it kind of serial identification of merchandise. RFID is the term that's thrown around quite a bit. The ability to identify, especially in big ticket item retailers, the ability to identify a particular refrigerator, not just the fact that it's a given item number. I think that's going to become much more relevant in a lot of retail segments going forward. And we've talked a little bit about business intelligence, and again, the other buzzword, I guess, would be CRM or customer relationship management. That technology will continue to advance. Retailers will get much better at serving individual customers rather than the masses, if you will. I think retailers have made a lot of progress in that, really even in the last 12 to 24 months. But certainly for a specialty retailer like us that really is going to win based on service and selection and knowing our customer very well, those type of tools and the ability to really understand our customers, their buying patterns with us, but then also a lot of just their general lifestyle preferences is going to become incredibly important to compete on a long-term basis. So those are some of the, at least the four or five things that I really think from a technology standpoint are going to continue to advance and continue to move the retail industry forward.
That's great. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Jeff, for sharing your views about how to make the best use of technology for a retail organization.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks again. To be successful in a retail industry, it takes impeccable customer service, highly optimized supply chain management, and a scalable technology strategy and related infrastructure that would support the above functions that we mentioned, and that would allow us to satisfy the customers who come in so that they don't stop coming back again. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.